Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. I first experienced the waking dream sequence I'm about to share with you in my early childhood. It has accompanied me and guided me and informed me throughout my life. The vision is as vivid today as it was when it first visited me. And as I progress through my earthly sojourn, the ending becomes increasingly more vivid and clear. Are you ready? I glimpse the top of a mountain shrouded in mist. Hovering on high, I can discern the ruins of an ancient Acropolis complex in a timeless twilight. I wait alone, formless in the silence. In time, a lone figure, powerfully built and clad in the skin of a lion, makes his way towards the abandoned temple of the highest. His hair and beard are still mostly brown, though streaked with white and gray. In his right hand, he wields a knobby club studded with bronze. My consciousness enters his figure, and henceforth I see things through his eyes. I know that I am now Hercules, son of Zeus and progenitor of my line. Entering the fallen structure, I move through it unerringly until I reach a rectangular stone table, a long-neglected altar to the Olympians. Upon the altar is an antique horn from a heavenly bull, I tell myself. I then realize that I've been here many times before and that I know exactly what I must do. The horn is of monstrous size and etched with arcane glyphs. Some of the etchings are inlaid with a silvery metal. I put down my club, cautiously lift the artifact to my lips, then blow into the lower end with all my strength. The bellowing call echoes through the firmaments. With a horn still in hand, I exit the temple and peer purposefully into the murky skies near where I myself once hovered. I can detect faint presences, spirits that have answered my summons who will help me in carrying out my Olympian mission. Some take on forms while others remain formless, but this I know, all who have responded will assist me in some unique and important way. And with this realization, the vision starts to fade. I am blessed with a brief glimpse of the ruins restored to their former glory. The sky is lambent, blue, and clear. There are mythic beings engaged in joyous activity, I myself among them. And I then realize that this is Mount Olympus, my eternal point of origin and return, my heaven and my soul's true home. And now, without further ado, we return to the Age of Heroes in the Elysium Project with Astrid. Greetings and welcome, Astrid. How are you?
Greetings, Hercules. Doing well. We start to really feel spring happen, not flitting back and forth with the temps. And I have to say, that was a totally awesome introduction into your self-worth and your vision. That was magnificent. And
thank
I
you.
Have to say, it really touched home for me because I had been in Greece, and there I was in Athens after finishing college, my first European jaunt with my bestie, Stephanie, and I was able to be there up on the Acropolis, and it is a totally amazing place. And at that time, you could actually sit on the stone blocks within the Parthenon, which is the temple to Athena, and you can feel past, present, presence there of gods and heroes. It is intense, a very intense experience. And I really started to write amazing things after that. It just like totally opened me up back into my writing. It expanded it. It was the prelude to discovering past lives. It really was just an amazing experience. So if anyone gets the opportunity to go. It's the most amazing place on earth. Oh, amazing. And here we are, another part of earth, on the other side of the globe. And to start off with, I'd like to get back into something we haven't really done in detail for quite a long time, and that is get into the Sussex County information, you know, things that are going on, information that could be useful to some people. And if not to you, then maybe you can pass it on to others. And, of course, I will follow up by sending a lot of this information to you as much as I can. It's an email, so you can post whatever you think is relevant on your site. Mm-hmm. And without further ado, let's start off with the Sussex County vaccine resources.
Okay.
As of April 19th, the availability now is expanded to include individuals age 16 and up. And they're already talking about Pfizer being instituted for application to younger than that. So there is a movement going to expand it. Moderna is approved for 18 and up. Pfizer is 16 and up. So there is a difference. The J&J, they're supposedly going to be starting again. We shall see. But the Sussex County Department of Health is administering the Moderna. So if you're going to do something within the county that's administered by the county, you're getting Moderna. And that you have to work, live, or go to school in Sussex County to qualify. And you could visit Sussex, New Jersey, U.S. by clicking Get Vaccinated and Follow Instructions. It can be difficult for some people. And they do have availability. If you can't navigate the internet for seniors, you can call the Sussex County Division of Senior Services to get on its wait list, 973-579-0555. You can also call Skylands Ride for transportation to and from appointments, 973-579-0480. Now, there is the Meadowlands Mega site, but now that's going through HackensackMeridianHealth.org. But we have places that are more accessible than going down to the Meadowlands. Right here in Sussex County, you can be vaccinated with pharmacies. You have the Walmart pharmacies in Franklin, Newton, Rockaway, Hackettstown, Riverdale, Ledgewood. You can check availability at nearby Rite Aids by visiting riteaid.id/New Jersey. And I have to say, I had the best luck with Rite Aid. Mm-hmm. I was trying here, trying there. I was with the Atlantic Health Systems, and the state of New Jersey contacted me. They were not that easy for people to navigate. You know, I had to really work at it. And then as soon as you would, you know, click availability, it was gone. Rite Aid was so simplistic with a little calendar, the date, the time, and they basically told you you have about, you know, how many minutes to log in and get that time set, not log in, but just get that time set for you and get very basic information. Wasn't even bad. And I got it in a matter of like for a week. So I was very, very happy about them. And I had got, they would do Pfizer. And I did go for my first, and I'm going for my second one this week. And they're highly efficient, highly organized, where you go there 5 minutes ahead of time, you're there in a line, people take the information, you're guided to the back where you get the site, you're given an immunization card, they give you a form to bring back next time, they send you text reminding you. I mean, they were so efficient. So I'm very, very happy with them. You can go through Atlantic Health. You can also go to nearby ShopRite pharmacies and click Get Started. Weiss also. The Weiss has pharmacies in their supermarkets. And you can go to nearby Acme's as well. So, I mean, you have a lot of different possibilities now, more access here. And that's a good thing. And, of course, there's always the New Jersey COVID vaccine hotline, 1-855-568-0545 from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And I know there was a lot of problems with people trying to get through in the beginning, but now, you know, it's much easier. They've worked the kinks out, finally, and more people are getting vaccinated. There are some that choose to get one and not two. I will mention that you should not take any kind of pain relief prior to the vaccination because it will lessen the effects. You can do it afterwards, so that's something to keep in mind. And no liquor, no heavy-duty working out, they tell you, you know, so these are the things you keep in mind. There we go.
There we go.
Getting easier.
We recently
there we go.
our town made a partnership with some nearby towns, and we went
How
to
nice.
Leopold. And yeah, we got the Johnson and Johnson the day before it was pulled temporarily. But fortunately,
it seems to be that there are genetic issues, you know, and no one knows for sure because every human being is different.
Yes.
Your immune system is different. Your genetic codes are different. Your illnesses can have an effect, you know, whatever you have. If you have autoimmune disease, if you're diabetic. I have one friend who had major heart surgery prior to, you know, a couple of months prior, and I don't even remember which one she said she had, but she had not one reaction. So you can't go by what people say. Here we go with our theme of subjectivity and objectivity, you know, the reality, because every human being is different. You listen, you can prepare, but then what is the reality for you? That's the thing. But it's always good to have to communicate, get information, and be prepared. You know, I had that Advil or Tylenol ready, whatever. But also, our sites that you can go on to afterwards if you do have side effects, that you can contact the government and they can start using it as data, because that's what you need. You need data
right.
In terms of, you know, of course, the effectiveness and what's going to happen, but also the side effects. How many people are getting side effects? Which one did you take? And how long did it take for the side effect to occur? So, I mean, these are important things, and they're things that should be registered so that there is more of a scope on how to deal with this. And a truer picture. Here we go. A truer picture. So that's the story there. And now with more people getting vaccinated, you know, things are starting to open up. So
right.
We have some events here in Frankfurt this weekend from noon to 7 p.m. There's going to be the Food Truck and Craft Beer Festival. Now, this has been always taking place. We're talking more than 20 food trucks and 100 craft beers. Music and backyard activities. I'm not too sure what that means, but you can always contact them to find out. And this is, of course, at Skyland Stadium. So it's not in the fairgrounds. It's at the stadium, which is at 94th Championship Place in Augusta. $5 for adults. Children under 38 inches tall, free. And you can go to skylandstadium.com or call 973-383-7644 for more information. Find out what's going on there.
When I was younger, I used to go. Right now I can't drink beer or much wine because of my diabetes. Like half a glass of beer, I got sick. But I remember when I was much younger, I used to occasionally go to the beer festivals or the wine festivals, and I remember having a lot of fun, Oktoberfests and things like that. So,
sure. And again, you know, it's every individual has to think twice in terms of their health. Even when you're vaccinated, it doesn't mean you have a, you know, get out of jail free card like in Monopoly.
Right.
You still have to be wise, and I really hope our listeners and other people within the community remember this distance thing and good hygiene, because, wow, the flu went way down because people practiced distancing. And again, the hygiene factor, washing their hands more often, you know, covering their mouth, you know, starting to think a little bit more about what do I have to do to be safe? Which really, all along, you know, you have to think in terms of viruses and bacteria and what
right.
is your particular story, you know, your health. So what do you have to be careful for? So that's something to think of. And the outdoor events are always much easier than indoors. We also have an event, and this is on May 15th as well, in Green Township. It's called Spring Fest. And this includes farm activities, craft vendors, live music, a Zigmeister brewing beer and food by James off Main, and that's from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And it's also on Sunday, so it's 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. then. It's at Tranquility Farms, which is 47 Decker Pond in Andover, $5 to $10. Now, what is the difference? I don't know, maybe the adults, or maybe if you're going one day versus 2 days, so that would be wise to make a phone call, 908-979-0303. A whole lot of repetitive numbers there. So there's another activity outdoors. And then we have, where was that other one? Oh, what's another outdoor activity that started recently was the classic car club cruise. There's this Rodfather, I love this, not Godfather, Rodfather Gang Car Club Cruise. I love it. And basically they have all these stunning collectible cars right in Newton every Saturday from, it's just started, until November, right in front of Newton's Friendlies, you know, right in the heart of Newton. Okay, so that's right in that mall there, the Newton Mall, and that's across from the ShopRite area, not far from there. And they actually opened up with 145 classic cars, trucks, and rides in it. I think that's amazing. Double the number that they were expecting. So that's great. And it's being sponsored by the Friendlies of Newton and Wantage, Dr. Mary Negri. And Mary is a great chiropractor. I used to go to her when I went to chiropractors. Really, really good. So that's an amazing event. It starts at 2 p.m. So they invited everybody there. It's in a roped-off area, no fee. If you want to check out some beautiful classic cars, that's the thing to do on a Saturday. That will be every Saturday now. Interesting, huh?
Yes, there's lots of wonderful things happening in Sussex County. That's great.
Oh, yeah. And again, there's all these programs going on. We always talk about these nonprofits that are always having all kinds of major things. And we always forget about the hospital and the Atlantic Health Community Center. They, due to COVID, they're still doing things virtually. So they have programs in virtual exercise, virtual integrative wellness, and it just has your virtual programs. I think they're basically related. The virtual programs are related to senior citizens. And you can visit AtlanticHealth.org for their calendar, or you can call them at 844-472-8499. They have things like this Friday at 9 a.m., senior nutrition. Then May 17th on a Monday at 10 a.m., the Senior Living Spectrum, Navigating Housing Options. And that's a really big thing, because there comes a point when, you know, most families have to deal with how they're going to deal with an aging relative. And what is that point in terms of keeping them home and moving them to a facility? That's not an easy thing, and you need to know your options. So this is a really great virtual program. They have another one on June 3rd at 7 p.m., and that one's called The Six Pillars of Brain Health. And then on June 2nd at 7 p.m., one called Top Pantry Staples, so things that you should have in your house that'll hold you over in case there's some kind of emergency. And then June 16th at 7 p.m., they have Understanding Alzheimer's Disease and Dementia, something that all of us found ourselves in the position of dealing with, or relatives that we know, or friends. I mean, I have like about four friends going through this. So it's good to know the difference, the differences and the expectations and the different stages. So there we go, Atlantic Health Community Calendar. It's a really great thing.
It sounds like it. Everything sounds so wonderful. There's so many good things happening, and it's great that you're helping people become aware of them.
Well, you know, it's about support systems. And the way you learn about things is by communication. This is not about, oh, I've got this and I'm not sharing it. No. These things are meant to be shared. It's always someone that you know that can use it, or someone that you know that knows someone that is in dire need of one of these services. We have our Karen Ann Quinlan Hospice. Always has great things. I just went this past Saturday for the paper shredding, and it is so user-friendly now with COVID that you stay in your car, you drive through a little, you know, a little section with cones, and one person takes your items that you want shredded, and the other one takes your money, and you just go right out. It's like you don't have to have contact. They're being very careful. They're shredding as you give it to them, so it goes into these big bins and it's done. And their next one will be in 2 months, so it's May, June, so June, July. It's always the second Saturday from 9 to 12, and you're helping them out so that they don't. The shredding company donates their services, so that $6 a bag is going to hospice as charity.
Okay.
And that's a really great thing. Well, they're having their butterfly release, which, you know, I am such a fan of their butterfly release. It is just such a beautiful, special event. And you went with me and Athena. A few years ago, to see it take place. And we went up to Milford, Pennsylvania, which is so beautiful. Not far. It's right next to Sussex County, over the bridge. Pike County. So they're having theirs, and it's going to be virtual again, like last year. It will be a Zoom. And it's on 6/13. It's on June 13th, 2 p.m. Your deadline for registering anyone that you want to remember, it does not have to be a person. It can be a lost, someone you've lost in terms of your pet, because, you know, we've lost them too, and they're important. And I very often remember people that have had an impact on my life, not just family members, but, you know, I'm such a fan of Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. They were just, man, they laid down what progressive music was about. And I always remember Keith Emerson and Greg Lake, always. So it can be someone that means something to you that is not a family member or friend.
Right.
And you just want to recognize them. But it's a great thing. It really is. And if you want to register them, the deadline in order to have the name read in their announcements at the event, it is June 4th. Now, you can actually go to their site. You can register online, KarenAnnQuinlanHospice.org/butterfly2021. And they're also offering a DVD of the Butterfly Release Celebration for $9.99. They can ship it to you. You know, a DVD, so you can actually watch it occurring as it happens, or share it with people. And that's via Zoom. And I didn't do it last year because I've done it all the years, but I sent it to my friend. All my information I sent to my friend Nigel over in England, so he could be there and hear them read off certain names that were important to him as well, because he's another Emerson, Lake, and Palmer fan. So you can enroll. They also have forms. You can go there to Newton Sparta Road, and they have the forms there. You can go online. You can call them up. To have the names read off, it's $20 a name. If you want to be a Monarch Butterfly sponsor, it's $100, and you get a keepsake and a sun keepsake. It's really pretty. And they also send an acknowledgement if you want it to go to someone in particular. If I have certain neighbors I honor, and I always send, I include them, and I send, they actually send a little card to the people letting them know when it's going to be and how that person's going to be honored, and they can watch as well. So it's really special.
Yes.
It really is.
Yeah, it's
absolutely
very
beautiful.
And, I enjoyed celebrating there when my aunt had passed, and it was a beautiful ceremony.
Right.
Very memorable.
There's something about seeing all those monarch butterflies being set free. You know, all of them just out there. And, of course, you're also being very, very civic-minded in the sense that in our days where the environment, well, the past environment hasn't been taken care of. And the monarch butterflies are, and just like our bumblebees, our honeybees, they are depleting in number. They're depleting in number, and we need them. We need them for pollination. So that's another good reason to do this.
Most certainly so. Wow,
that's a
wealth of information.
Oh, I've got more for you. I've got more. All right, I send a few of these things to you, and I will send them again. But the Township Journal was saying, put something out, and they're talking about it being a challenging year for businesses and employees, and their businesses are gearing to open up more. And they want to put a survey out. They want people to, if you're out of work, fill out a short anonymous survey. And I sent you the link already, but I'll just remind you again. And
okay.
It's related to returning to work, if you are or if you aren't. And, you know, what kind of a job are you looking for, or are you not doing it? And why are you not returning to work if you don't want to? And it is so in-depth. I went through the whole thing myself, and I was really impressed with it. I really was, in terms of how good this was. And they are not going to, you know, sell your information. It's a really great, great organization. The other one is that there is a Zoom, free Zoom, on college planning and financial aid, What You Need to Know, with Liz Levine, Signature College Counseling. And it's covering how to search for college, the application process, how to do your college essays and what to expect, how college choice will affect your bottom line, college sticker prices and what they mean, real-life examples of families' financial aid picture and how it affects the decision, and making the final choice. There, and then you'll sign up online, and if you want more information, you can go to Signature College Counseling, 845-551-6946 if you're calling. And I've sent that to you, but again, I will just send that website again. Mm-hmm. Because that's a big thing. It really
yes.
is. Big, and especially since people are, on a whole, haven't really gone out to the colleges to look. So something to think about. There we go. And we also have, Kathy sent me a great thing. I know she sent it to you too. The Sussex County Pride Organization is holding an event June 12th.
Yes.
And
I'm
that's to make people aware of it. And that is going to be the first, actually the first LGBTQ advocacy group. And you can go to www.sussexcountypride.com and find out about it, or call 973-362-6714. And that is going to be held, it's a rally, it's going to be held from 12 to 2. And it is on 6/12, yeah, June 12th, and it's going to be held at the Newton Green, right in the center. So there's something else people can look forward to or share the information.
Wow.
Yeah, and my last thing I'm going to mention, and this is just like, wow, isn't this exciting? It's a highlight. And that is, a New York museum is going to unveil a 22-ton slab of luminescent glowing rock that originates from Ogdensburg in Sussex County. How about that?
That is awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Right. And this is let me pull this up here, because I want to find out a little bit more about it. I'm not going to go into detail about it, because people can always Google it. But the Sterling Hill Mine and its twin mine in Franklin have roughly 365 different minerals. That's beyond belief. More than 95 are fluorescents, and some are phosphorescents. 19 of them have been found nowhere else on Earth. So that is amazing.
This is
a yamunga thing. And where is this museum now? I'm trying to find it here. All right. They talk about mines, about this, about that. Okay, and there's so much information about mines. It's just unbelievable. And it's being held where? The Alison and Roberto Mignone Hall of Gems and Minerals. So that's where it's going to be. So if you're interested in knowing about this, you know, want to see this 22-ton stone, fluorescent stone, you can actually Google it and find out all about it. Sussex County makes the news.
Yes.
There you go. How about that? I love it. Here we go. Now, let's get to the meat of the matter, because we're already like close to 9:30 with all the news. But I'm happy about that, Hercules, because I'm very, very happy that there was all of this positive energy in terms of things being done in Sussex County. and things coming back to life. So that's a good thing. Really, really good thing. And so let's look a little bit about subjectivity and objectivity. There's a couple issues here, and I'm going to move all this information out of my way here with all these events, so I make sure I send you all the info. And I'm going to start off talking about something that's going on in Sussex County, and that is that there's going to be the commissioners of Sussex County are asking voters to green light an investigation into governmental policies, regulations, and oversight of long-term care facilities, including nursing and veterans' homes that suffered mass death during the pandemic. So they want to put this up to a vote, whether there will be an investigation into the management of the facility, should it go forward, because more than 8,000 New Jersey residents died in those facilities. They approved the ballot on the question in a 4-0 vote, and they want to look into governmental policies, regulations, and oversight. 70 deaths were linked to Sussex County, and that is that subacute and rehab center during the very beginning of the pandemic. This is something that is a good thing, but I think that we need to objectively look at the reasons why they are doing this. It is important to do this.
Right.
And New Jersey had the highest death tolls in the long-term facilities in the nation. That's a lot.
It is a lot, yeah.
Some people on the Zoom meetings questioned the motives. One woman said she didn't object to the investigation, but to the way they were going about it. Because there is an investigation by New Jersey Attorney General Gerber Gruel, who is a really great attorney general, great AG. And
yeah.
There is a new law enacted with bipartisan support to create the Task Force on Long-Term Care Quality and Safety. And the task force includes people who are on the front lines, family members, as well as nursing home staff. And we're talking about long-term reform. This is a big thing. And until politicians, lawmakers, legislators all get on track together, nothing much is going to happen. You can't be, you know, partisan about something like this. And this should not be used by a commission to go after a Democratic governor, which is what seems like is happening here. Also, let's be objective. These things that happened at these places, you and I have brought this up many times in the past, way before COVID, about the ridiculous fees, about the fact that they're not monitored closely enough, and that there are real issues, the public, but more so the private ones. There are people that are making major money. We start talking $8,000 to $12,000 a month. What is being done there? Why don't we start asking, which is what this bipartisan group is doing of politicians, why? That there's got to be standards for how many people are working and a ratio, just like with the school, there is a ratio of staff to patients, just like staff to students within the school, to have it be, education be effective. And the same with care, you know, in terms of our aging seniors. There has to, we have to be looking at these things. In the situation with Andover subacute, that was a horror, and it wasn't until family members were not being told anything by the company itself that was running it, which incidentally was being run from New York. And I'm not going to get into the who, why, what, where, and when, because again, you know, if you're interested enough, you will go and do multiple searches on the people that owned it and how many times they have been involved with things that are subpar in the past. But, you know, there has to be standards and accountability. All public, when we've talked about this, all public services should be accountable, whether you're a doctor, a policeman, a teacher. Let's go further. You know, what about pharmacies, you know, and doctors with medications? And they have a database now for that. Well, maybe there should be databases for these places and how many marks against them. So that when you are doing your research on these Zoom accounts and you've decided, you know, where you're going to go, there are options for you to really fully find out what is going on in these places and how many times have they been cited.
Right.
That's a big issue. So, yes, I'm glad that the commissioners are looking into this. I question the motives sometimes. You know, it's not always, again, here's subjectivity and objectivity. Do people do things for the right reasons, or are they doing because they have a hidden agenda? Well, I think it should go to the voters, but I think it also should be mentioned that there is a bipartisan group, and I'm happy to say, you know, Josh Grunheimer from our 5th District, our representative, is amazing because he jumped on that immediately when people contacted him about what was going on there. And, you know, they've got the reserves out to go take care of the bodies that were being hidden. And so, you know, we do have, just to put a blank ticket on and say, oh, well, the government screwed up. This is beyond just the government. And that's what we have to remember, you know, that there are many aspects to this issue that we have to look into, and we need to do our research.
Yes.
We really do. And leaving that, well, actually, I'm going to connect something to that.
Okay.
And it's about Big Pharma. Because the amount of money, I mean, I'm lucky, I have a decent prescription plan. I was very lucky that I worked for a district, and it's not all educators that have this. It is your district that negotiates your benefits, and if you get a prescription card or this or that. But there are many people that have to put out hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Some put thousands out for their medication. And I know that there are some really great representatives, again, who are pushing. Gottheimer's one of them, Andy Kim, Tom Malinowski, pushing for changes in the pharma industry and some, let's get our lives back to normal, and let's get the tools to do this in terms of people need to have proposed legislation to reduce access, you know, that will not reduce access to medications and cures and send Americans overseas. But you have a group called Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers America that does not want this one particular bill passed. You have a group, an outside group, receiving millions of dollars from the pharma industry lobbying and to get rid of certain, you know, politicians that want a bill to limit a ridiculous amount of profit made by pharma. So this is interesting. Pharma sent $4 million to the American Nation Network. That's only 2 years. And that was proven by the records of the Internal Revenue filing. That's a lot of money.
Yes, that
just
is.
Just to make sure they get politicians out who are looking to change the rules. It's scary. The Government Accountability Office, the investigative arm of Congress, that is, reported last month that prices in the U.S. for 20 brand-name drugs were 2 to 4 times higher than Australia, Canada, or France.
That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And that, it's frightening, you know, because what about people that need these drugs? What about people that have, and incidentally, who is the number one lobbyist right above pharma? Health insurance companies. It's very easy to find this out by looking at lobbying records. So...
where can somebody go to get that permission?
Excuse me?
Where can someone go to get that information?
With lobbying? Oh, you can go to a government site because a lot of those things have to be put out there. And I'll even send that information to you about lobbying and the amount of money spent and where are the biggest ones. And that's why it's important to find out how your representative and your senators vote and who's sponsoring what. And then you start to follow money. And you have to also, again, here's where the research comes in. You have to find out what some of these names mean. You know, people pick these outside consulting groups or people that receive millions of dollars from these industries, and they target certain representatives because or voters with ads, and then this is where we start getting into the news. It's crazy. You got to watch out because some of these groups, like you know, that are tied in, they have very fancy names that say, you know, American Freedom Act or American Action and American Action Network. It's a nonprofit with ties to the Congressional Leadership Fund that spends millions of dollars on TV and digital ads in certain districts. So here we go. And, you know, all parties do this, but when something that benefits the public, like cutting back on their profits, the pharma, and making the prices more manageable, and then you're having people actually, you know, lobbying that these people get out of their jobs, you know, or voted out because they don't want them in there doing that.
I know. It's very disheartening a lot
yes,
of times.
Yes, it is.
It really
and
is.
And that's why you can't, and, you know, that's why, Hercules, we say get the information, research, and then look at the name of the organization that put the study out, and then Google that organization and see what ties they have. Because just like when they have surveys and just like, you know, other like polls, look and see who is sponsoring that. And then you'll understand why sometimes things are slanted a certain way. And another thing, we can jump into this now with subjectivity versus objectivity in the real world, is you're getting a lot of information now about jobs and the job market and how there are job vacancies all over, highest level, really, and they can't hire staff. What's happening with this now? You get articles in the paper, you see, oh, workers are staying home because they have such high unemployment benefits. A couple states. And we won't go into, you know, party affiliations because, again, people have to make up their minds, not look at it in terms of party, but why. Look at why the people that are leading their states don't want certain things or why they're voting a certain way. We're starting to put certain laws into effect, and that is elimination of the unemployment for people that lost their jobs. There are jobs, a few of them said, and I won't go into names, just take any job. Well, here is the problem. The job vacancies that are available are low-income jobs. Where are they? They're service jobs. So you're looking at places now that, like, down the shore, they want people to make the businesses pick up. They're low-wage workers we're talking. It's the service industry. Service industry, no health benefits, this, that. You do have unemployment benefits, give workers an extra $300 through September 6th. And maybe there are some that are staying home. But I will also mention the fact that a lot of women have lost their jobs, either voluntarily or involuntarily. Why? Someone had to stay home with the kids. And there were many single-income families where it's the mom and the kids and maybe grandma's there, you know. But when it comes to education of your child, you got to be there. Or if it's a situation where you're afraid to go into work because you don't want to bring it home to your children or and your elderly parents or relatives that are living with you, that's another aspect too. So, again, when you're reading these things, you have to think about, look at the overall picture. Why are some of these people not going back? there'll always be some because the insurance, you know, the unemployment benefits are a little better. But if the jobs aren't there and you have a lot of middle-range jobs, management, supervisor, a lot of business jobs that went down the tubes, you're going to ask them to be able to live working in a restaurant for like $8 an hour or nine, you know, this is ridiculous. Part-time help, no benefits. We have to realize majority of the jobs are very low-wage jobs in the service industry, which is something they are not saying. And they also, businesses only added in April, only 266,000 jobs, far less than the 1 million that were forecast.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. And they're not long-term jobs, as we said, down the shore.
Right.
There are people that will be taking a job for a short time, and then all of a sudden, you know, oh, well, that's it. It's only part-time. Oh, well. So we need to look into that, too.
Well, that used to happen because I was in the vocational rehabilitation workforce development field for like nearly four decades. And the market used to swing back and forth, you know, so sometimes you had an employer's market and then other times you have an employee's market when they needed people. So then they would offer more money, they'd offer benefits, and that was just the way things went. And in my field,
it was a balance. You're right, a balance.
Yeah. So now it's swinging.
You say, well, I'm not getting paid much, but I have benefits. Well, forget that nowadays.
So employers, if they want employees, they're going to have to sweeten the deal a little bit.
Right, and, you know, not for anything, but more aid has to be given to small businesses that can't survive, that want to be back on their feet. You know, I mean, a good example of that is look at Amazon. It is the most abusive corporation. Yes, I know. There are one particular place where it was so horrific, they were offered a chance to unionize and the vote didn't go through. But what people don't realize is how these people were intimidated. They were getting phone calls, texts, emails. They singled out people that were pro-union, and there were incidences and negative behavior towards them. They had meetings where these employees were being brainwashed and being intimidated. Oh, well, if you vote union, this is what's going to happen. That's going to happen. Yeah, maybe you're getting the $15 an hour, but what they're not saying to people is something that a lot of us know in many fields, that as the belt had to be tightened, you were expected to do the job of two, three people. Maybe things could look good on paper, but they're not saying how people were not allowed to go to the bathroom, were working at rates that were totally insane, inhuman. And I know for a fact, even, you know, in the New Jersey area, I had a friend that did a short-term stint with holidays. You know, she's a single mom. And she's raising her kid and paying for college, and she did a stint with Amazon. And this is a woman who is a workaholic. She could not keep up with the work, and it's like slave driving. They come around. They're watching you every minute. They're counting how many times you go to the laboratory. You know, this was insane. Some were told, you know, you have to keep moving. You're not allowed to go to the bathroom. Go pee in a bottle. Excuse my language, but that's the language that was used towards them. So, yeah, you see a lot of trucks, Amazon trucks, and all right. And I don't know what it's like for them on the road. I don't know. But I do know what it's like for people at the warehouses. Totally insane. People that had to quit, people whose health went downhill, stress factor, which was unbelievable. Not good.
I've heard both bad and good things about.
It depends
Amazon.
On the individual. And again, here we go. Yeah. It depends on the individual one.
Objective and objective, yeah, because again, I've heard the cons, and then you know, as a consumer, I know some of the pros, and I've talked to a lot of people, especially if they said they worked for one of the mega corporations. And again, sometimes I got good reports and people were very grateful for it. And other times I got poor stories. So I don't know
all depends on where you're standing in the circle, the subjectivity of it. You're right. And just a little note to our listeners, Amazon pays no taxes in its European corporate home. They had a record-breaking year in Europe in 2020. A revenue of 44 billion euros, cost of shopping from home. And they ended up paying no corporate tax to Luxembourg, where the headquarters are. Their headquarters are located there. And they reported a loss of 1.2 billion euros to the authority, making it exempt from corporate taxes. This amazes me, you know. But again, we don't have lawyers that can, you know, wheel and deal. And plus, after the tax reform that we went through under the last administration, tax exemptions and deductions went south for the regular man. Forget it. You lost them. But they stayed intact for corporations. I'm not talking small business, mega corporations. So that's interesting. That's interesting. And that's why you have corporations that go overseas. Their head of the corporations, not their factories, or that the head of the corporations will go overseas, so they pay nothing or next to nothing for their taxes, which jumps up the profit. Amazing. And let's follow it by this. And I'm not saying anything negative, you know, because people do things, again, it's subjective versus objective reality. But there was a builder building a temple, this new temple in Robbinsville. I have no idea where that is. It's the builders of a New Jersey Hindu temple, the largest one in the United States, which did not hire American workers. They lured workers from India, worked them nearly 90 hours per week, and paid them $1.20 an hour. One worker died from forced labor. These are the people that run this temple, and they worked this out with this construction company. It's constructed entirely of Italian marble. It's sculpted in India, completed on site in Robbinsville. It's known as the BAPS Robbinsville. Well, the development comes a month after New Jersey labor authorities. Thank God somebody contacted them. And this is the issue. People say, well, why isn't something done about it? No one can do anything. A huge figure. You know, these large organizations we have and government departments can't do anything unless they know about it. So New Jersey labor authorities halted work by a contractor there in Edison. The lawsuit is a proposed class action complaint. 200 workers are on religious immigration visas. Forced manual labor for the construction and expansion on the 100-acre site. It's a 42-page lawsuit. Years of alleged abuse and inhumane working conditions. Wow. Mm. So, yeah, why aren't people working? Well, here's another thing. There are corporations that go overseas and hire on an immigration visa, bring these people over, pay them nothing. And there was a situation, I don't know how many years ago, where there were fenced-in camps where people were sewing clothes for these mega corporations, you know, jeans, whatever, being paid nothing, and they were labor camps. That was exposed. Yeah. So this is not the first time, and, oh, this is not about COVID. This has been going on. And, yeah, there are jobs, but then what jobs are not being given to Americans? And what about the jobs that still are continuing to be outsourced to other countries? And it doesn't matter. It's not only India. It's China and, you know, Malaysia and Vietnam. And they're being paid nothing. nothing to keep that profit factor up. Meanwhile, here's the other side of it. Jobs not being put out there. American laborers. And a big one is, you know, the as we know, you know, these different computer firms. I mean, if you need a computer assistance and you've gone to school for a degree and you thought you were going to be making decent money working with computers, guess what? No. Outsourced, and you're going to get a call to another country.
So there's still a lot we need to explore and learn about. I kind of made a vow to myself that by the end of 2021, I will pick like a handful of things, maybe seven things that I want to devote energy to, and then just do that, because there's so many things that need to be, again, addressed that, you know, it's impossible to even become aware of it all. So I'll be narrowing
that. Exactly. And I am happy to see things like the women's plight with the work, not being in the workforce. It's amazing, the numbers. It's astronomical. But our president is talking about child care.
Yes.
Availability so women can go to work. So some kind of resources for those that need it so they can go out back to work.
Right.
And then you have the ones that are overqualified, because I know with my son, he lost his job with the pandemic. It was a startup company, and we're so happy with it. And poor man lost his house, so had to end up going moving to the house, do the job himself. And now he's being offered the job again, thank God, because a man's going to be able to get up on his feet due to aid, due to things opening up, you know, in Colorado. But he went upon job interview, and it's not what you and I remember when we were growing up. It's 3-4 phone calls before you get a couple Zoom calls,
right,
and a couple
right.
great jobs. There was some that he wanted to get started with in business, and he was told he was overqualified. So here you have people saying, politicians, you know, some of them saying, "Well, take anything." No, you can't, because.
Yeah.
Those in business know if you're qualified at a higher level and they spend time and money to train you to do something that is so way beneath your talent and you're so above it, you're not going to stay in that job.
Yeah, you're going to stay there till you find what you're looking for. I know. We only have a couple of minutes, so we can't talk about it today, but I've told you. Understand and sympathize, and I've been having many an adventure in this field myself.
You have your own personal stories with it, yes.
And
yes.
We will share those on another day. People who want to get in contact with Astrid may do so through me. I will let her know whatever you'd like to communicate. Astrid, thank you so very much. You're an awesome individual. I'm very honored.
We're here to help one another out, because that's what it is. Everybody has been helped by someone.
Right.
You, in turn, owe it to others to extend the hand. If you have a talent or if you have knowledge, you have to share it. You can't just be subjective. Well, it's working for me. You need to think about the bigger picture and share what you know and what you can do. And that's what it's about. Good karma, too.
Yes. I look forward to – I know we'll talk both online and offline before your next show, but thank you so very much. Have an incredible
day. Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. You know, and blessings to all out there. I mean, you know, it's tough. Everybody has their own obstacles. And, you know, when you if you have an obstacle and you need resources and something, send a little note to Hercules, you know. Send it to me via Hercules. And we'll look into it, because there's so many different things out there, support systems. And it's hard to navigate everything. We can help you out. That's what we're here for.
And that'll lead to another conversation, too. Unfortunately, we don't have enough time, but I just
there
suggest the library board. So I'll talk to you about that on the phone, and then we'll pick up from
definitely.
That there.
Yes.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us, whether you joined us live or whether you're going to listen to us later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures, and may your burden get lighter and your day get sunnier. Take care, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Astrid.
Oh, my pleasure. I had something on the environment, and that I think I will say for next month.
Okay.
Again, subjectivity, objectivity, in different ways that you can do things in a little way. Really.